Okay.
Well, right. Aloha.
Aloha to you too, buddy.
This is great. This is my inaugural podcast. I'm happy to have David Friedman from Boston Logic with me. We'll tell everybody where we're at right now.
We're in Ko'olina, Hawaii.
That's right.
We're in a hotel room. There's a view of the Pacific Ocean. Pretty much sucks.
Yeah, we're at Worth Shop 6, put on by Hawaii Life, and a lot of big names here. And I thought, well, if I'm going to go here with a lot of these big names, I want to do a podcast. I think this is a great place to start because I'm going to have so many of you guys in one place that I can put some in the can, so to speak.
What is it? Marquez wrote, "The Journey of 1,000 Miles Begins with a Single Step."
Yeah. So we got two mics. I'm a DJ with two turntables and a microphone. Right?
There you are. So 1,000 podcasts, number one.
So listen, I'm very familiar with you guys, Boston Logic, but maybe some of our listeners are not. So could you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and Boston Logic?
Absolutely. About myself. I am a Jewish kid from New York who went to engineering school during the dot-com boom, got involved in startups, and decided to build my own company. And that is where Boston Logic was sort of born. And what happened was we found the real estate brokerage space and realized that this is 12 plus years ago, the vertical was behind in the technology curve, and a lot of people would argue it still is. And we started building tech for real estate brokerages. And we did this some more, and we did this some more. We started building one product and then another. And 5 years into it, we sort of built a little company. We said, you know what? All these technologies are great, but we got to build a platform. And so we actually set out to build a platform in the middle of the recession, in the middle of the Great Recession. We said, you know what? We'd built a business at that point, probably doing about $1 million in revenue. And we said, you know what? We're just not going to grow in this market. We know how to keep the doors open. We know how to run a company. Let's build that platform we've always wanted to build. So we built version one of the Boston Logic platform and launched it in 2009, late 2009. And if you take a look at like every graph of the company, revenue, users, everything, it just sort of goes up and to the right from there.
You know, I think that's my story as well with WNR Studios, where we launched the company in, I believe it was May of 2008, right? So you can imagine, I mean, that was just like ground zero for just it hitting the fan, right? And everybody thought I was crazy starting a real estate software company back in a time when the whole country was being cratered because of real estate. But I think, you know, you have to learn some lessons there. You have to learn to operate lean and everything else. But and the other thing is like, there's really nowhere else to go but up, right? So that's a good thing.
Yeah. And there's all these studies that show, you know, they graph company formation over time. And they look at the likelihood of success over time, and there's no correlation to broader economic trends. Yeah, especially with based on founding date. So you can found a company in the depth of a recession, right before a recession, when times are good, and your likelihood of success doesn't change. It's actually not an indicator of eventual success.
Oh wow, it's good to know. I mean, I think especially nowadays, I talk to a lot of vendors, and everybody's kind of like, cautiously, they just want to know how long this is going to last. You know, we're having a good market now, and the election's over, and you know, that was on everybody's mind. So it's like everybody I think has talked to is like, okay, well, it's going good. Okay, it's going good now, but how long before it's not going good, right? And
right.
It seems to be a common theme with everybody.
Well, there's one of these things that we all know is that chaos causes innovation, right? So my dad was an Air Force guy. He said war was the mother of invention, but the broader statement is necessity is the mother of invention. So when you have a recession, you end up with all these entrepreneurs by necessity. They can't find a job, so they go start something. So there's a lot of company formation. That is basically what you did and kind of what we did to build our platform, even though we'd been around a while and we didn't have to go raise capital or anything like that. We built the company out of something that pre-existed, but knowing we'd have extra time on our hands was the luxury that we had, sort of, because it was a stressful time, but it was a luxury we had to go build, you know, the product that is our company today.
Yeah. I think you guys are on the same similar thing that we did, where we looked at what's available. And as my partner, Dan Woolley, would say, he says, you know, it's ridiculous that consumers have better access to tools in real estate than the actual professionals do. So
yeah.
Our mission was to kind of, you know, look at what the MLS provides and make a better experience there.
Yeah.
And you guys looking at the broker software out there and doing that same thing of coming up with something that was more design centric and, you know, easier to use and those kind of things. I call it like, I've been calling it like the real estate software Stockholm syndrome, right? Where everybody is so used to having shitty software, They don't even know. They've just accepted it. It's right. such a pervasive thing in the industry that they don't even know that there's other things that are available. And I think vendors like you who are bringing it can show people like, well, it doesn't have to suck.
Right? This is why we get along.
Probably, yeah. we're attacking two different things, but in the same way. So I really love that.
Absolutely. I think that if I took that a step farther, one of the reasons real estate is a little behind is because when the dot-com boom was happening, real estate was booming. And when times are good, the impetus to innovate goes down. It's sort of the reciprocal of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so real estate kind of missed that. And some entrepreneurs from the outside, they're not from the brokerage industry, came in and built some stuff for the consumer because the industry wasn't doing it. And yeah, the consumer ended up with better stuff. And there was all this vertical software and people are trying to bring it into real estate. And you still see that a little bit, but there wasn't a lot of software built for the real estate industry. And now look what's happened. You know, 10 years later, there's hundreds and hundreds, maybe even 1,000 companies that are all only making software for this niche, for the real estate brokerage vertical. And that's completely different from when you and I got.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible the amount of capital that's being put in here now. I mean, you know, everybody's talking about Open Door with basically a unicorn company, which is, it's not really, it's real estate, not really tools for agents in a way, but it's still this, you know, that sector, that vertical of real estate is getting that much funding, right?
Yeah. So I remember sitting in a board meeting, I prepared a presentation for part of our board meeting back in 2014. And I had noticed, probably like you did, that the rate of company formation go through the roof. And, you know, you're hearing about all these angel checks and seed rounds and VC checks coming in. And I started Googling, and sure enough, there's enough people who track VC that somebody had graphed this. And between 2013 and 2014, the company formation, or at least fundings, had gone up 4x. Uh-huh. So you'd gone from something like one a month to one a week from one year to the next. And that hasn't really changed. In fact, if anything, it's gone up. The size of the checks have gone up. And you see this market maturity happening with, you know, in a big way, Rupert Murdoch getting into the space with a Move acquisition.
Right.
Obviously, the Zillow IPO, the Trulia IPO, their merger. You take a look at some of the private equity folks that have gotten into the space. You take a look at, you know, big venture capital getting behind a bunch of companies with not just $1 million checks, but tens of millions of dollars. And it's a different landscape than what you and I saw when we founded our companies.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the typical vendor back in the day was his wife was a realtor. He was working at IBM or he was an engineer somewhere, and she would come home and complain about something and he'd write a little app for her. And then she'd start using it and the broker would see it. Oh, that's pretty cool. What is that? Oh, my husband made it for me. And then he'd make a version for the broker. And then, you know, it would kind of went on with there. And there's some still guys out there that's their story.
There's
still
a lot of it. Yeah.
But now, I mean, these young guys, I mean, you guys, like you, I mean, you come into a space where you're so smart. I mean, the lessons have already been learned. There's handbooks on how to build a SaaS company, right? All these other technology things are provided for you. You can plug it. It's like building a house with Legos. You can build these companies with Legos in a way of like, I'm going to add this e-commerce thing. I'm going to add this SaaS thing. I'm going to add, you know, I'm going to have software tools that are very rapid development kind of software tools. It's so incredible from a guy who started out. Our first product we shipped on a 5.25 discount.
I remember.
I mean, just, you know, it's just amazing what's happening now.
Yeah. I really just started to give a talk on this. I have like 75 slides on this exact topic, which is the pace of innovation and technology has dramatically increased. And we all feel that, like we're all cognizant of it. But when you step back and actually realize all of those tools you just talked about that are now so easy to access, like what does the financial model look like? You don't have to start out at a blank spreadsheet. You can download one. You don't have to explain to people how SaaS software works anymore. Remember 5 years ago when software in the cloud needed some explanation?
Right.
Like people weren't going to trust it. My client data in the cloud, forget it. Now it's totally normal. The ease at which you can distribute software, like you were shipping floppies. Now it's, you know, a couple of clicks on your phone. You've installed the application. Hosting space is just, you know, super cheap. You don't have to buy any of that infrastructure. You don't have to hire a sysadmin. It's all in the cloud. And we're building on top of open source architecture and open source, you know, framework. So you don't have to start with, you know, line one of code. You start with thousands of lines of code in a framework and you can get to a working prototype in weeks, not months. And it's just so different from the way things were 10 years ago, let alone when the dot-com boom was happening. So we can, I say we, I basically mean Americans who know something about coding can go from an idea to a working prototype exceptionally rapidly, and it's very scalable in months. And that spurs innovation in enormous ways.
Yeah, I was talking to Dan about this. We were looking at, you know, coming to the year end and you're looking back at like, okay, what we did right, what we did wrong. And like also compare, this is for Dan and I being co-founders in this is our third company. And we remember our first company, Iris, and we're like, God, we had like 60 people back then, right? We were doing less revenue than we do nowadays, right? But what was everybody there? And it, you know, it came down to support. We had probably 30, 25 people who were answering phone calls from real estate agents who had put their floppy disk in there and then have problems installing it on their computer, mm-hmm. right? And just that one fact alone that you don't have to install anything anymore, you know, I guess on one level, it cut out 30 jobs, right? Which is another whole thing that's going on in tech right now as far as that kind of social responsibility. But it is so, I mean, when we started this company, I'm like, the other thing was we had to buy a phone system.
Right.
Right. So that was like $50,000 and all this stuff. We don't have any phones installed at our office, right? Everybody just has they communicate on their mobile phone or Slack or, you know, email or anything else.
But
there's no need for it anymore. It's so cheap. It's so inexpensive now to start something.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And if you look at the real estate space, you know, we're a platform. So we do everything from you know, customer acquisition through the web and lead aggregation, CRM, email marketing, marketing automation, data management. When you start looking at all the other companies in the space, there's been an evolution of those companies. So now a lot of them are building APIs. And 3 years ago, they weren't even there. So as those companies and those pieces of technology, some of them even old technologies, are maturing, the ones that are really keeping up are now building these APIs for data connections. And now what we can do together is one of the more exciting things from our perspective. So if the client data is in our CRM, we can get it into the transaction system and into the CMA system and into all these other places the clients need it in order to leverage all these other tools. And I think that's part of the next wave. The next wave is all about connectivity and data connections. And that was even, you can dream about that 10 years ago. 5 years ago, it was sort of an idea in some companies, and now it's becoming ubiquitous.
Yeah, I think to me, I mean, it's a very good point, because when I talk to a lot of MLS executives, and you know, they license a lot of software. There's a lot of software out there for agents, but number one thing they always tell me is like, I wish you guys would all work together. I wish you know, if you bought this or bought that. And I would tell you one of the chief reasons for cloud CMA success is that we made an API for it early on that the major MLS vendors, like CoreLogic and Rapitoni and Black Knight with Paragon, could put a button in there because we've made it easy to integrate, right? So that's, we're definitely all about those kind of things. These new APIs it's going to be interesting to see what happens and how. I think it's best for new vendors because it's so easy now to come in. You've got like Retsly, you've got like a Spark API from FPS, and then, you know, coming up soon is going to be Trestle from CoreLogic. Still, permissioning issues aside, I think there's going to be a brand new wave of people going in there. I mean, I'm surprised when I go to Inman and you go to that Startup Alley, how many new companies are there every year?
Every 6 months.
And, you know, when it starts getting even, the barriers get lower as far as data and everything else, I can only imagine what's going
to
happen there.
I love seeing that. I used to walk down Startup Alley and I had the wrong attitude. I was a little curmudgeonly and I go, seen it, been done, seen it. Right. And now,
well, that's the stupidest idea ever.
That's the stupidest idea ever. And now my take on it is, it doesn't matter what the ideas are as much as that people are still trying stuff. And some of it is spaghetti against the wall and some of it will stick. And the others are just more and more people contributing to growth. And maybe this is because now our companies are at scale, right? We can say that we're no longer, you know, bumping around with $1 million in revenue and trying to figure out, you know, who the 11th person to hire might be. Well, you know, of the 9 roles we want to fill, which one are we going to pick, right? You know, we're a little beyond it and we're not worried about, you know, the new little guy who might knock us off as much. But, you know, I think that what's happening there is people see fertile ground. They still see a lot of opportunity in the space, which is great for bigger, more mature companies because we can take opportunities and blow them up. And there's still a huge attraction to invest in the space. So Startup Valley got smaller, I'd worry.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I don't see it getting smaller.
No way.
The next couple of years, yeah. So let me just shift a little topic here. So you guys, congratulations. I mean, you guys have gotten acquired recently, right?
We got a big investment.
A big investment, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And that's you guys were obviously located in Boston. I think this is also a New England-based private equity firm, right?
Yeah. So we're now backed by Providence Equity. They're based in Providence, Rhode Island, which is more or less commuting distance. It's a long commute, but it's commuting distance to Boston. They're global, though. They've got big offices in New York and London and other places in Asia, et cetera. And we're now backed by, frankly, a $47 billion.
Yeah, a rich uncle, basically.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. And I think that this means a number of things for our team and for our clients. Number one, our clients don't have to worry about us getting acquired by, let's just say, a non-friendly competitor in the space like that. Also, our financial backing is as pretty much as good as it gets. So there's no question about Boston Logic's financial future. And for our team, we're growing our team faster than ever and with just amazing people. So the team that's there is super excited, and the people we're bringing on are just awesome. And we're adding heads like nobody's business right now.
Yeah. I mean, but knowing you, you're a smart guy and you have this rich uncle now. It doesn't sound like you guys are going to stop there by just making this a full Boston Logic play, right? I mean, I got to imagine you'd be looking for other companies too, right? To kind of join you in your mission, or is that too much?
So you hit the nail on the head. We're investing in the core business. And we're growing very quickly, and we're only going to accelerate. One of the big opportunities we see in the space is there are, as we talked about, hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 companies in the real estate tech vertical now. Very few of them have achieved scale. And there is a lot of duplicate effort going on, whether that is spending the same money on MLS feeds or spending the same money on running the same MLS infrastructure in the cloud. Marketing dollars, accounting, CFOs, there's all this work you have to do to run a real estate tech company. If you take 10 real estate tech companies, there's probably 40 or 60% overlap in work going on in those companies. And some of that isn't even just HR and finance. It's very industry specific. So we see a lot of opportunities in the M&A arena. And it is our plan to look at acquisitions for growth in the future.
Yeah. So talk to me about who would Boston Logic's target customer be? I mean, if we've got some listeners out there at brokerages and are thinking about adding, a platform for their business. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does your ideal kind of customer look like?
Ideal customer it's the entire brokerage. It's not one agent at a time. We don't really sell one agent at a time. We work with brokerages really of every scale. Bigger is better. It's basically a per seat pricing model. So if you're bigger, you pay less per seat, but it's a bigger contract for us, and we like bigger contracts, but we certainly are happy to take on clients that have 10 or 25 agents. The brokerage is probably more tech forward than your average brokerage. Technology and the web are probably a driving force in your brokerage, or you want to make it that.
Right.
And our customers usually come from maybe two or three spaces. One, they're using a legacy piece of software that is a platform. It is a marketing and sales platform. And that legacy software is not keeping up. And they finally decided, all right, we've been on this platform for 5 or 10 years. It was state of the art when we signed the first contract. It's been renewing for a number of years. And it's just, we're behind. And we're behind enough that pain is enough for us to move. That's bullet one. Bullet two, a lot of our customers have separate website, CRM, data management, email marketing, marketing automation, lead distribution, and actually coming onto our platform saves them money. Because when you eliminate 5 contracts or 6 contracts and you bring it all into one, suddenly they're actually paying less. And the third sort of profile is a customer who might actually be on a decent platform, but there are things that they got out of that platform that are no longer as valuable to them. And moving onto our platform allows them to have something they just don't have right now. So an example would be, hey, they've got a great looking website and the CRM is decent, but really what they want is more connectivity of their data. And so what they've got might be fine, and we're doing a replacement, but out of something that's old and bad, but something that's kind of decent, but the data connectivity for them is so powerful, and it's such a wow moment for their agents that it's something that their agents are sort of lusting for. So they want to be on an open data platform with a lot of what they had the same, but hey, we also want to be able to leverage our data in Cloud CMA and in our transaction management system, et cetera. So you don't necessarily need to be in something that's old and not really working out in order to want to be on our platform. You just really want to have to believe in what we do, which is, you know, open data sharing.
Right. And so give me an idea of like, what is your smallest customer like and your kind of biggest customers like? I guess as far as agent count, I don't know if that's the right metric.
Sure. So, our biggest customer probably has about 2,500 agents, and they're in, I don't even know how many states. They even have franchises. So we have a franchising capability within the system. And every single one of those agents is getting, you know, their CRM, email marketing suite, marketing automation. They're getting a lot of support. A big part of what our platform does allows for the staff of the brokerage to do things for agents or automate things for agents. So, hey, we create marketing pieces and we give them to everybody, or we create this data connection, everyone has access to it. So hugely scalable stuff. Our smallest clients are teams. We have teams who jump on our platform because they want a great looking website and they want to do a lot of automation because the team is all about efficiencies. So, hey, I want it every time I get a lead from Zillow, I want it automatically dropped into a segment based on where that home was they inquired on, and I want them automatically to get the market report on the first of every month. And just doing that saves them time because they're already spending, you know, $100,000 on Zillow a year. We don't mind that. Like, we're not anti-Zillow in any way. But you know, they're getting thousands of leads and they're calling them back right away, but then the long-term follow-up's not been automated. They want a great looking website, an automated follow up, and oh, by the way, their broker gives them leads, and they've got their open house leads coming in from Spaceio, and you put it all in, and now their business grows even faster through technology. And for a small team, for like $1,000 a month, you know, a deal or two a year, and they're ahead, you know, right. 10 deals a year, and the ROI is insane. Right.
So, what kind of trends do you see out there? I mean, as far as looking at real estate technology, I mean, anything out there kind of like piquing your interest or like everybody should be kind of keeping an eye on? I mean, you know, from your perspective?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, there's a few. I'm just trying to pick a few big ones. I think the number one trend I'm seeing is in big data. And I don't mean the API stuff. I mean, like people who are taking big data sets and applying them to their data set. So let's say you've got a larger brokerage. They're doing 1,000 transactions a year, and they've got 10 years of data, 10,000 transactions. Who's going to move next year? Right. So you could call them all up, or you can run them through an algorithm. They're not cheap, by the way, but we're talking to some of these folks and integrating with them. So they can zap your, you know, by API, they can zap your client base and say, these are the people. Now we've got the automated CRM. So we send a task to the agent. Maybe there's a transaction coordinator. Maybe there's a marketing piece that goes out. So suddenly you've got all this data that's been sort of sitting there dormant, and now it's an asset.
Yeah.
So that's one. I think
another, that stuff is scary, though, dude.
Is it? Come on. It's really basic. I think we're actually kind of in the infancy of all that.
No, exactly. That's why it's scary.
I mean, we just like a little bit of data. Like, you grab their social profiles and like, who had a kid?
Right.
Right. Let alone you take public record data and mortgage data, and you know, all right, the average person in this neighborhood moves every 5.7 years. This mortgage was signed this age, you know, and you take the HUD statements that you already have on file, by the way, and the date you own the data, like use it. And this is why Amazon has been suggesting to you, Greg, for 10 years, people who bought this also like that. It's not all that weird to see it on Amazon because we're used to it, but people who bought in this neighborhood in this date range with this type of mortgage are 5 times more likely to buy than people who bought 25 years ago because they're just going to retire and die.
Right.
Right. The next trend I think that will come into real estate is AI. One of the biggest trends that I kind of hate is the whole lead conversation. I'm friends with Brian Boero, and he gave this talk for us at Inman last year that said, the title of which was, "A lead is a client someone else lost." 82% of everybody who buys or sells a home has worked with an agent before.
Right.
Yeah. 82%.
Yeah.
Right. So that means.
And then the other stat is like, I think they were actually satisfied.
Oh, yeah. 90%.
Right?
They, yeah. Yeah. The NAR study.
They never kept in touch. Right?
The NAR study says that like 90% or 88-89% of buyers and sellers are satisfied with the process. And they're just, the industry is terrible at maintaining that customer relationship. So what we think is interesting is there's all this lead gen going on. Lead gen is like one of the biggest topics in the whole industry. And the lead follow-up is still abysmal. So what we've come up with is, I say we, I mean, like the real estate tech vertical is call center, have somebody else call them back.
Concierge
type thing, you know, and now you, and you know, the agent, this is really kind of weird. The agent's like, I don't know if I like somebody else calling my lead, and the brokerage, well, how do I pay for this? So I have to take them a bigger cut. Well, if you make that AI, the cost of that goes through the floor. So the cut the brokerage has
to take. A bot or something.
A bot. Yeah. And think about it. So you could have, these bots can now have natural language processing conversations over email.
Oh, jeez. Talk about scary. Yeah.
Why, I mean, I don't think it's scary. I mean, the first conversation is pretty rote. That's why you can have a call center, you know, in the Midwest, in some somewhere cheap. Let's just say where the office – sorry, Midwest. It's somewhere where the office space is cheap. It could be overseas if they have good English. Calling back and talking to people or manning the chat window or something like that. And they can have a really generic conversation that's somewhat scripted. And, you know, we're smart enough to know that we can write a little software algorithm that can do that conversation. It's not actually super complicated. So why not? Yeah. Why not take the call center employee and turn it into a bot whenever you can?
So big data and bots, huh? This is the brand new world of real estate.
I mean, if you look broadly, people are talking a lot about VR and AR. And I'm actually not as bullish on those as, I mean, people say, hey, what's the big trend here? AI, I mean, excuse me, AR and augmented reality and virtual reality. I'm not as bullish on that as some folks, certainly not in real estate. I think that it's pretty cool when you put on Matterport glasses and you can look around a room. I just don't see it being prevalent.
Right. Maybe luxury or something, but yeah.
Maybe. I don't see us all coming home and sitting down in VR glasses, but that's just me. I think we actually want to be in a room with somebody and have a conversation. And, you know, I don't want to go VR dating. I have a wife, but, you know, I actually want to, you know, have a conversation with you and have that real experience. And I think actually there's some business applications because the telecom meeting definitely lacks a lot. But if we could all put on VR glasses and sit around a virtual conference room, I think our meetings would really get better. And that's interesting to me, but I don't know. I don't really think AR VR is going to make a huge impact in real estate anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm so flattered that you joined me on my first podcast here.
I'm flattered, man. I'm your inaugural episode. This is cool, this is, man. Awesome.
So tell people how they can get in touch with you, whether they want to sell their company to you or just follow you on Twitter, or what's the best way to get in touch with you or following you?
Yeah. So bostonlogic.com is our website. We're at Boston Logic. You can find us on Facebook. And, I mean, we're pretty easy to find. I mean, it's not hard to find Boston Logic. If you can't find Boston Logic, your computer probably lost its internet connection.
All right, dude. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Mahalo.
Thank you.